93. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 85 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Good morning. I am not Gary Harris, who does a lot of incredible things. WVUA, of course, he does play-by-play as well, does the high school show on Friday nights during football season, sportscaster at WVUA, host right here on Tide 100.9. That is Gary Harris. I'm not Gary Harris. I am Wyatt Fulton, the brand manager here of Tide 100.9. Gary is out on assignment for the rest of the week, so we will be filling in for Gary from today until Friday. Gary will be right back in the saddle Monday morning here, bringing you all the content of Alabama Crimson Tide football, basketball, men's and women's, baseball, softball. The feeling is in the air, all right? It's hot outside. We're venturing into late July, and you know what that means, guys? That means we are getting towards football season. Fall camp starts next Wednesday. That is not breaking news. That was told to us by Kalen DeBoer at SEC Media Days last week. We were in Atlanta, Georgia for SEC Media Days. That was told to us last week by Alabama football head coach Kalen DeBoer. So a lot of content to break down. A lot of previewing is going to be happening here. We'll talk a little bit more about the SEC, all SEC preseason, first team, second team, third team, offense and defense here. Interesting stat about Alabama on the defensive side of the football. We'll dive into that here because I think there's a couple of guys that probably could have been on this first team that were not on the first team. But just look at the SEC and the talent is evident across the SEC. We will be joined by Drew DeArmond here at about 9:30. He'll help us break down what we heard last week, not only from Kalen DeBoer, but from the rest of the SEC here when you look at SEC Media Days last week. And then I'm going to ask Drew a couple of questions. And I'm going to ask these questions to the audience as well. 205-342-9904 is the number for the Storage Center hotline. You can also download that Tide 100.9 app and leave us an app message there as well. What do you want to see and what do you want to hear from this team at the start of fall camp, right? Fall camp starts July 30th, but that's about a month until the start of the season. You've got two scrimmages that are going to be happening in between there. Obviously, we all want to know who the starting quarterback is going to be. Obviously, that is one of the big questions. We assume we know who it's going to be, but they have not officially made the announcement that it is this guy or that guy or the third guy on the roster there. So number one, who is going to be the starting quarterback? I think that's the big conversation. It always seems to be the conversation when Alabama's got a new quarterback coming in. I've also got a couple of other questions that I want to see answered from this team in fall camp. And we may not get the answers to some of these questions in fall camp. It may be the first game against Florida State. It may take until Louisiana Monroe in week two. It may take till Wisconsin in week three. And there's a couple of questions that I wouldn't be shocked if we're still asking them going into the Georgia game in week five. Alabama's got a week four bye week ahead of that SEC opener matchup against the Georgia Bulldogs, that one being on the road. Last year it was here in Tuscaloosa. Alabama's SEC home opener will be against the Vanderbilt Commodores the first weekend of October. So a lot of content coming for you, coming your guys' way today. But first, got to tell you guys about Alabama Credit Union. Hour one of the Gary Harris Show is brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Visit alabamacu.com to learn more. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money and put a little extra change in your pocket. Man in the ones and twos, we got two of our best producers here, Reed and Chase. Guys, how you guys doing today?
I'm not too bad, Chase.
I can't complain. Good to see you, Wyatt.
Good to see you guys. It's my show getting moved back to 1 o'clock has ruined my sleep schedule, right? Like, technically speaking, I am on staff, so like I got to be here at some point. But also, they understand, or the management understands that, okay, you do a lot of stuff, right? I mean, we do a lot of high school content. We're going to be doing Hillcrest Huddle again on Tuesday nights this season. We're going to be doing the high school football scoreboard show on Friday nights. And then, of course, we do, I think, 12 hours of radio on Saturdays covering Alabama football, our pregame show. Then we take over with CTSN about 2 hours before kickoff. Obviously, the Alabama football game, you can listen to that right here on this station. Chris Stewart, Tyler Watts, Roger Hoover, and all the incredible people over at the Crimson Tide Sports Network on the call. 2 hours of post-game content with the Crimson Tide Sports Network, and then myself and Matt Coulter go on for 2 hours as well. So a lot of work is done during football season. So management kind of understands, like, okay, you don't necessarily have to come into the office at 9 a.m. every morning. Now, during football season, I'll be at the complex on Monday mornings catching the Kalen DeBoer, Ryan Grubb, and Kane Womack press conference, and then we'll also have some player availability throughout the season as well. So at 9 a.m., I'll probably be at the complex during football season. But coming into the office, I don't really have to be in by 9 a.m. because, number one, I get my work done. And number two, I work a lot. Like, and that's not me tooting my own horn. It's just, hey, you know, I'm up here until midnight most Friday nights during football season. Then I got to turn right around and work 12 hours on Saturday doing a segment on the pregame show and then getting ready for the game and then covering the game and then writing all the stories and the press conferences and all the player availability we get and then doing the postgame show as well. Tuesday nights, I'm up here. I'm either at walk-ons helping out with Hillcrest Huddle or I'm here helping produce Hillcrest Huddle on Tuesday nights. Wednesday night, of course, you've got Hey Coach and the Kalen DeBoer Show. So Wednesday nights, I'm at Baumhauer's working there, making sure bringing you guys any content that happens. By the way, once we get into SEC play, Thursday nights are going to be taken up by covering the availability report that's going to come out. Monday, I've got a long day because of press conferences with the coaching staff. It's a lot of work. So my show getting kicked back to 1 o'clock and the knowledge management has of, you know what, you do work a lot. Maybe you don't have to come in at 9 a.m. It has ruined my sleep schedule, right? All I know is, I got to be in the building by probably 11 o'clock most of the time. And if there's something that's happening in the morning, then obviously I need to be up and writing. I'll do that probably from my house at that point, writing all my stories from there. So it's ruined my sleep schedule. So the 7 a.m. wake-up call was not fun for me this morning. Normally I'm getting up at about 8:30, 9 o'clock. Hitting the gym and then heading on over to the radio station here. But it was good. I'm excited that Gary asked me to step in and fill in. Of course, I step in and fill in for a lot of our show hosts here, right? When Wimp and Barry go out, we jump on inside the locker rooms from 7 to 9 a.m. When Gary's out, I jump on the Gary Harris show from 9 to 11. Outside of that, our guys don't really take time off. Martin Houston has been trucking along. I don't think Martin's missed a show since I got here in December 2023. That goes to show you the testament and the dedication Martin Houston's got to this. And that's not to ding anybody who does take time off. I've taken time off. Hell, yesterday I was at a doctor's appointment, so we had to run a show replay for my show. But that's the dedication that you see from guys like Martin Houston, Christian Miller, Ryan Fowler, who, yeah, they may travel. They may go on vacation kind of here and there, but they're still doing their show 5 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, give or take a couple of federal holidays in there as well. But a lot of content coming your way today here on the Gary Harris Show. We're rocking and rolling. If you want to join the conversation, we're talking SEC preseason, all SEC teams, first team, second team, third team. No Alabama defender was named to the preseason, all SEC first team. That is the first time ever that has happened. Since, I think it was like 1980 something. They've been doing it since 1980 something. They've been doing SEC Media Days. Every single year, Alabama has had a defender on the preseason all-SEC first team, except 2025. Now, they've got a lot on the second team. And a couple of guys on that second team, I thought, they probably could have been on the first team and nobody would have batted an eye. I look at a guy like Deontay Lawson. Yeah, he's coming off injury, but I look at a guy like Deontay Lawson, who's been a multi-year starter here in the SEC, and I say, he could have been on there. I look at Tim Keenan, right? He's not going to put up the gaudy stats that maybe you want to see from a pass rushing interior defensive lineman. But I look at Tim Keenan and I say, yeah, but he's a mauler in the run game. He is a big physical body there in the run game. And that's what you want from a defensive tackle, a nose tackle, which is what Tim Keenan has been playing for Alabama since he arrived in Tuscaloosa, basically. I look at Damani Jackson, the cornerback, and say, yeah, you didn't hear his name a lot last season. And I think, and talking with people in Atlanta, that was the big conversation was, hey, Alabama's got really good guys, but what are they doing at the cornerback spot outside of Xavien Brown? I was like, Damani Jackson's back. What are we doing here? Wait a minute. Why did you forget that Alabama had a lockdown cornerback last season? And the answer I got was, oh, well, I didn't hear his name enough last year. I didn't hear Damani Jackson getting talked about in games last year. Yeah, no dip. Because he was a lockdown cornerback. It was the same ding that you put on Kool-Aid McKinstry, right? You had a young guy who didn't have a ton of reps on the other side. Kool-Aid did his job being a lockdown corner for 3 years here in the SEC. And we said, okay, screw throwing to that guy. I ain't throwing at Kool-Aid. But I got this kid, Terrion Arnold, that I'm going to throw at because I know I can't do anything on Kool-Aid. Terrion Arnold played safety for 3 years or played safety his first year at Alabama, then converted to corner, got benched at one point during the 2022 college football season. So when he came back in 2023, everybody said, all right, Terrion Arnold, that's the guy we're targeting. And as a result, you heard Terrion Arnold's name a lot because he was getting pass breakups. He was getting interceptions. He was forcing fumbles on the defensive side of the football. He was containing guys in the run game because you said, all right, I'm not running at Kool-Aid McKinstry and Brian Branch, or I'm not running at Kool-Aid McKinstry and Malachi Moore on the other side of the ball. So let's go target this cornerback over here. So you heard Terrion Arnold's name a lot more because he was a young guy who was unproven, and then he showed out. He balled out and ended up being a first-round pick. That's the same exact thing that happened last season at Alabama. It happened in 2023 and 2024. Hey, we're not going to target Damani Jackson. By the way, that Malachi Moore guy is still hanging around the defensive secondary there as well. We're not going to target Damani Jackson because Damani Jackson is a lockdown cornerback. But we got this true freshman over here that kind of got burned in that spring game, if y'all remember watching that. We got this true freshman, some kid named Xavien Brown. Yeah, he was a five-star, but he looked bad in that spring game. Against Jeremy Bernard, he looked bad in that spring game. No disrespect to Jeremy. So, okay, well, now we've got guys like Squirrel White that are going to be targeting against him. You've got guys like Dylan Bell out of Georgia. Georgia's going to have Zachariah Branch this upcoming season once again. So you look at guys like that and you say, okay, well, then I'm going to try and create this mismatch and put somebody on Xavien Brown that I think can beat Xavien Brown. And for the most part, Xavien Brown did not get beat. So you heard Xavien Brown's name a lot last season because he was the guy that was getting targeted. He was the guy that you said, okay, well, I'm not dealing with Damani Jackson. I know how good he is. I'm not throwing the ball his direction. But I can pick on this true freshman. Turns out you can't pick on the true freshman because Xavien Brown had a really daggum good season last season. I believe he was freshman All-SEC, freshman All-American as well here for Alabama. So a couple of guys that I think could have made their way onto the first team. Obviously, you've only got a limited number of spots. I agree with most of the guys that were on the first team. I look at the first team preseason All-SEC team and I say, yeah, that's a legit group. Yeah, that's a legit couple of studs on that roster. So we'll dive into that conversation. We're rocking and rolling this morning here on the Gary Harris Show, right here on Tide 100.9, 1230 AM, WTBC, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Tuesday morning. A heat advisory remains in effect for all of West Alabama until 9 o'clock tonight. Ambient temperature will be in the mid-90s, but the heat indices will be upwards of 108 degrees. Limit your time outdoors. Stay hydrated. Wear light, loose-fitted clothing. And make sure to protect kids, pets.
0.9 WTBC 1230 Sports Radio Studio is presented by Be Dry Alabama. Be Dry Waterproofing. Online at BeDryAlabama.com.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch.
405-345-1000. Patterson Law Firm. Local. Trusted. And here for you when you need us.
No representations made that quality of legal services to be performed is greater than quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the
Side. You can mix it with buffalo sauce. Dipping them in our sauces, it is perfection.
It's the summer of Chick-fil-A
Chick-fil-A chicken strips and sauces. Order now on the Chick-fil-A app. Team members paid for their testimonials.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partly to mostly sunny, hot and humid today. Just a few isolated showers or storms this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 94. Tonight's low, 76. Tomorrow, morning sunshine. Widely scattered afternoon storms around. The high, 93. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 87 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Tide 100.9. We're going to go ahead and dive into the conversation here. SEC, all SEC preseason teams here. We'll start from the bottom and we'll work our way to the top. From the third team defensively, Tyreek Sapp, defensive line for Florida. Trey Moore, defensive line for Texas. Cam Ball, defensive lineman for Arkansas. Xavier Harris, defensive lineman for Ole Miss. Tareen York, I thought there was an H there, linebacker out of Texas A&M, Arian Carter, linebacker out of Tennessee, Prince Will, last name starts with a U for Ole Miss, Keon Sabb for Alabama, Boo Carter for Tennessee, Bray Hubbard for Alabama, and Isaac Smith for Mississippi State. Chase, I think that is the only Mississippi State appearance here on the preseason all-SEC teams. I do apologize. Not many people are happy with where Mississippi State sits as a program here. I'm just double checking here. Yeah, that's the only spot they've got a Mississippi State player, unfortunately. But hey, he's one of the 12 best defensive backs in the SEC, according to the media. So I guess there's something that you can kind of hang your hat on if you're a Mississippi State guy here. That's the third team defense here. I'm a little concerned because I'm looking at the second team defense here. Let me double check. Let me make sure I'm not missing anything. Xavier Brown, who we talked about ad nauseum in the last segment, did not make a preseason all-SEC team. One of the star cornerbacks for Alabama, who, again, you heard his name a lot last season, did not make the preseason all-SEC team, first, second, or third team. I understand there's so many good defensive backs in the SEC, right? You've got so many universities that claim DBU hanging out in the SEC, Florida, Alabama, LSU, Georgia. Tennessee's had a couple of really good defensive backs lately. Boo Carter and Jermaine McCoy make appearances on the preseason all-SEC list. But I look at this and I say, Reed, you've got to find a spot for Xavier Brown on this list somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I've been looking at, and I'm like, the only thing I think that I can come to a conclusion of is, like you said, I just think that the SEC is just so deep in every single position that, like, even to set up this list, they were probably struggling, like, hey, do we put this guy? Do we put this guy?
Yeah, no, they definitely were struggling. There were a lot of people where I heard and where I was talking with them. I was like, hey, who are you going to put on your list? Because we cover Alabama here, right? So we obviously know 1 through 85 on the Alabama depth chart. We talk a lot about Auburn around here, so we know a little bit about the Auburn Tigers. We talk on my show, and Chase can attest to this, we talk about Florida a strange amount for being an Alabama radio show, but we talk about Florida a lot. We talk about LSU a lot because they're a rival. We talk about, you know, Tennessee a lot because they've been in the headlines this offseason. Talked a lot about South Carolina with the Norris Sellers, Texas, Digger. Make sure we get a lot of Texas knowledge on these programs here. But then I look at other programs, and even though they're one of the better programs in the conference, we don't talk about Ole Miss a lot around here. Especially, again, this is on this station. I'm not talking about national media. I'm not talking about SEC media. I'm talking about this radio station. We don't talk a lot about Ole Miss. We talk, I think my show might be the only show that talks about Arkansas. That's because my wife's an Arkansas fan. So we don't even talk about them a ton. We don't talk about Missouri a lot. We don't talk about Texas A&M a lot. We don't really talk about, you know, some of these other teams in the conference. And then all of a sudden we look up and, oh, wait a minute. Ole Miss has got a guy on the preseason, or has got two guys on the preseason All-SEC third team. Well, I've never, not saying I've never heard of these guys, but like, these are guys that I just don't know. Like, right? Like, I understand, I pride myself on being somebody who talks a lot of SEC, but that's 16 teams. There's 85 kids at least on all of these rosters. I'm not going to know everybody's name off the rip. I know what about Alabama. I know what about Auburn most of the time. I know a lot about LSU, a lot about South Carolina, Tennessee. Again, we just ran through all the teams. But then I look at this and I say, okay, Ole Miss, I know a couple of names, like Suntareen Perkins. I remember his recruitment. Alabama was involved in his recruitment. Pete Golding ends up landing him at Ole Miss. And so I know him because I've watched him. I've kept up with his recruitment and I watched him. But if you told me Will Lee is a defensive back out of Texas A&M, I would just have to take your word on that one, because I've never once watched a Texas A&M game where he made an impact, number one. And number two, I don't know Texas A&M's roster front to back like I know some of these other rosters here. So, sure, Will Lee, he's a defensive back for Texas A&M. He was on the preseason All-SEC second team here. Second team defense, Caleb Banks, defensive lineman out of Florida. Tim Keenan, defensive lineman out of Alabama. LT Overton, defensive lineman out of Alabama. R. Mason Thomas, defensive lineman out of Oklahoma. At the linebacker position, Deontay Lawson out of Alabama. Harold Perkins is listed as a linebacker out of LSU. Suntareen Perkins, linebacker out of Ole Miss. Malik Muhammad, defensive back out of Texas. Damani Jackson, corner out of Alabama. Will Lee III, Texas A&M defensive back. I assume he's a safety. Jalen Kilgore, defensive back out of South Carolina here. With the second team defense, you see a lot of Alabama presence here. Tim Keenan, LT Overton, Deontay Lawson, Damani Jackson. So four out of the 11 guys on the SEC defensive second team preseason poll, they're Alabama guys. And I think that's where this preseason All-SEC list for the second team, having four Alabama guys, is indicative of how the country, I think, views Alabama right now, especially the defensive side of the ball. You look at Alabama and you say, okay, they've got some guys, but they don't have dudes, right? And there's a difference there, right? Think back to the 2016 defense for Alabama. Reuben Foster, dude. Tim Keenan, dude. Ryan Anderson, dude. Jonathan Allen, dude. Minka Fitzpatrick, dude. You look at those defenses and you say, yeah, they've got the studs that make Alabama, Alabama. You look at last year's Alabama defense, because obviously a freshman's not making these lists. Let me go ahead and put that out there. So these are all guys that they've got experience in the SEC. They've got experience at Alabama. Damani Jackson, solid guy, right? And again, this is not our viewpoint, because I think Damani Jackson's one of the best corners in the SEC. I would put him up there probably two or three when I look at cornerback rankings here in the SEC. So Damani Jackson, the nation views Damani Jackson as a really good cornerback. The nation views Deontay Lawson as a really good linebacker. And I wholeheartedly believe if Deontay Lawson had not torn his ACL, I think that's what it was. I think that's what it was. Had he not suffered an injury against Oklahoma, I have a feeling that Deontay Lawson's probably first team All-SEC preseason. LT Overton, if he had probably just two more sacks last year, completes two more reps last season than he did over a 13-game season, then you look at LT Overton and you say, yeah, that's a first team All-SEC defensive lineman. Tim Keenan, if he was more of a pass rush kind of guy versus, you know, being a run fit defensive lineman, hey, that's probably a first team guy.
Yeah, so it was an ACL injury.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank God. Thank God I did not just...
No, you know, ball.
Thank God I did not just out that. Okay. Whew. That made me a little nervous. I felt like I was about to get a email from somebody that was not going to be very happy with me. Coming back on the other side, we'll talk with Drew DeArmond about this SEC preseason list, kind of what we heard from Kalen DeBoer and the rest of the SEC here at SEC Media Days, and some questions that he is asking as we get ready for fall camp right here on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Tuscaloosa's Old Colony Golf Course is an 18-hole championship layout designed by 1976 U.S. Open champion Jerry Pate. Director of Golf John Gray and fitting specialist Bob Montgomery are PGA certified. Mike Shivitz is the head professional and director of the Tuscaloosa Junior Golf Program. Call today to secure...
Prescription medications for COVID exist. If you test positive this summer, ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com/COVID-19 to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard, aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Visit alabamacu.com to learn more. Some rules and restrictions apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money.
Find Tide on Twitter at Tide 109 to keep up with show announcements, guests, and our reporters in the field.
Here on the Gary Harris Show. Joining us now, the host of Talking Ball on 97.7 ESPN, 7 to 9 a.m. every single weekday, Drew DeArmond. Drew, what's going on, man?
Hey, why? What's going on, bud?
Nothing much. Hanging out this morning, filling in for Gary Harris. Thank you so much for joining me here today. I want to go ahead and dive into the conversation here. We had to fill out the preseason All-SEC media poll, where we had to predict the order of finish for the SEC teams, and we had to give, I guess, all SEC teams here. Of course, I filled out my ballot and I posted my public ballot on social media, but kind of just your initial reaction to Alabama, who I believe for the first time ever did not have a defensive player on the preseason all SEC first team.
Well, you know, you kind of reached into one of my pet peeves. For the second straight year, I did not fill out a ballot.
Okay.
I cannot stand preseason, you know, accolades. At least I don't mind picking a 1 through 16, 1 through 14, 1 through 12 team order of finish. That creates conversation, and you can certainly speculate on who you think the college football playoff teams are and the best teams. But preseason All-SEC individual recognition is one of the most worthless things in the history of sports, because I know the SEC put it out as part of their app, you know, all the way back to, I guess, 85, the first year they did it, preseason. All, why does it matter? All that matters is what you did and during the season and who made the postseason All-SEC team, because all of it's pretty much based on a year ago or, if you're Arch Manning, on bloodline. So, to me, I just think it's a waste of time. I did read that, you know, about Alabama, and that's pretty stunning, because here's the thing. I think the Alabama defense on all three levels has a chance to be elite, and I think they're going to be a top three defense in the SEC. So if that's the case, then somebody will be first-team All-SEC in the postseason when it matters the most. And, again, I think what hurt Deontay Lawson was coming off of a knee injury. LT Overton, if he had a few more sacks last year, heck, he might have ended up in the NFL instead of back at Alabama, but he certainly would have been maybe a first-team All-SEC type guy. And I do think they've got guys in the secondary that can be first-team All-SEC performers. I think Quay Roussel could be a breakout guy. So I think the least of Alabama's worries is defense. So we'll see. But I, what's interesting is pretty much every poll I've seen, and that included the SEC media poll, the top four teams in the SEC, while not exactly like mine, were the same four. I had Texas, Alabama, Georgia, and then LSU. And that seems to be why pretty much the consensus of the top four teams in the league.
Yeah, that was my my top four teams were not in this order, but they were Alabama, Georgia, Texas, and LSU. Those are my top four teams in the SEC. To me, there feels like there's a really big gap between those four, and I think there's even a bigger – I think there's a gap between a team like Alabama, who has got maybe some of those defensive guys that you know are going to be really good, versus a team like LSU, who, yeah, they've got the quarterback and the offense, but the defense was very, very rough last year. They didn't make a ton of stellar additions to immediately say, yep, that defense is going to be 10 times better than it was last season. So I think, but I think categorizing it into categories, right? You would, if you told me Texas, Georgia, Alabama, or LSU were in the SEC title game, I would not blink an eye. I think those are the unequivocally four best teams in this conference. Looking at the rest of the teams here, if one of these teams from this next category, which I think is South Carolina, Florida, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, I'd be willing to throw Oklahoma in there. I understand why people are not. Would you be shocked if somebody outside of those four wins or competes for an SEC title? Doesn't have to win it, but be in Atlanta.
No, I mean, I do think Ole Miss is a wild card. They lost so much talent, but I do like Austin Simmons quite a bit. I think their running game will be improved. Hopefully the offensive line as well. Wild Turkey, a.k.a. Pete Golding. They've got, you know, Santarine Perkins back. He's one of the best pass rushers in the SEC. So, and they have another, you know, from what I understand, Umon Mielen on the team. So I think Ole Miss has a chance to be pretty good. I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the top six or so. I do think my two teams that have the chance for the most upward mobility, which would mean to go back from the to make a jump from the bottom third of the league to potentially that top eight, are Oklahoma and Auburn. The interesting thing is they play each other at the end of the first month in Norman, so that could be a fork in the road for both teams. But I do think their schedules are pretty advantageous. And then Auburn it's difficult. Auburn, they get Alabama and Georgia at home. So that they usually are tougher inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. So I wouldn't be surprised if Auburn and Oklahoma were in that top eight. And then if you had to ask me, okay, I gave you a top four talking about Ole Miss, that would be another team in that top eight. And then Oklahoma and Auburn, that's seven. Probably my eighth would be, Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. I do think their schedule is manageable. They have Marcel Reed back. I think they're going to be good on defense under Mike Elko. They always have been when he's been the DC there. The reason I haven't picked Florida in the top eight, even though they finished strong, is why it's all about schedule.
Yeah.
And Florida's schedule is brutal. Another team to watch because their schedule is not brutal. And by the way, he made the fourth day tolerable at SEC Media Days, and that's Elijah Drinkwitz. I think their schedule is very advantageous. I know they had losses at quarterback and in the in their backfield. Plus, they had they lost some offensive line starters, and defensively they suffered some losses. But they've got their defensive coordinator back. They retained him. I think they've got enough good pieces back defensively to be good. And again, the schedule I think is advantageous. So I wouldn't be surprised if Missouri is up in that top 10, so to speak. I do think Florida could still be good in the league and finish 10th, because that's just the way it is. To me, South Carolina is the overrated one, and I don't mean any disrespect to Lenora Sellers, who I think is an outstanding talent. But you and I both know they have Dylan Stewart back, but they lost their other three defensive linemen. They suffered losses in the defensive backfield and at linebacker. And I think with the way their schedule sets up on the back end, it's pretty brutal. So I'm not saying South Carolina's going to have a bad year. I'm just saying they went 9-3 a year ago. It wouldn't shock me if they were 7-5, and which pushed them down to the lower part of the league.
Yeah, you mentioned Missouri. Their first six games are at home, and they only have four road games on the season. Three of those road games, including Arkansas, who, as much as I love Sam Pittman, not going to be a stellar unit this upcoming season here. Vanderbilt, who, you know, Diego Pavia and them, they're not going to sneak up on anybody this upcoming season. And then at Auburn as well, which, again, you mentioned it as well. Playing at Jordan-Hare Stadium is really, really difficult. Getting them at home is great for Auburn. But in terms of talent level, I look at Bo Prabula at Missouri and I say, okay, well, I like him more than I like Jackson Arnold. So I like Eli Drinkwitz more than I like Hugh Freeze. And then Missouri's also returning their offensive and defensive coordinator. They're returning eight starters defensively. So I look at Missouri and I say, yes, they lost a lot. But in addition to that, their schedule's so easy, especially the non-conference schedule, that I could see Missouri being a 9-3 team competing for that college football playoff.
Well, I mean, I think there's a chance. Now, I'm not quite sure they'll be good enough to get into the playoff, but I think Coach Drink's done a great job, and I think he should be on the short list. If Napier takes another downturn, certainly I think, Florida should have him, on the speed dial. If Lane Kiffin ever left Ole Miss, because there's been some talk of him looking around. But I think Drink, or even Southern California, if Lincoln Sharman, gets fired, then I think that he should be on that list. Because I do think Drink is an outstanding coach. But I will say, even though I think they're going to be improved, I don't see much upward mobility for Mississippi State because their schedule is brutal.
Yeah.
And I think the only coach that's a dead man walking going into the year is Sam Pittman. When you spend the majority of your time in front of the media and you're having to talk about money and commitment and revenue share, that's tough. And they lost a handful of starters that would have still been starters at Arkansas to other teams in the portal. That's never easy. And then with Kentucky, Zach Calzada, we don't know how good he is. Remember, he never played at Auburn because he was injured with his shoulder. He was okay at Texas A&M, and then, he was good at Incarnate Word. So that may limit Kentucky. Kentucky's always kind of had a bugaboo of figuring it out. Mm-hmm. And then Tennessee. Tennessee's a wild card. Tim Banks was, is back, contract extension, but they lost a lot of good guys on defense. We all know the quarterback situation. They lost Dylan Sampson. I wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee took a slide back to 7-5 and was in the bottom third of the league. But you know me. I hope they finish dead-ass last and 0-12.
Drew, a couple of media members were able to pick who they think is going to win the SEC championship. I don't put a ton of stock into this considering that they've only been right, five times since they started doing this? But 96 people picked Texas to win the SEC title. I was not one of the 96. I picked somebody else to win the SEC championship here. I look at Texas and I say, okay, you lost your top two wide receivers from last season, Isaiah Bond, Matthew Golden. You lose, I think, three or four starters on the offensive line. You lose your star running back from last season. He ends up going to the draft. You lose Quinn Ewers as well. Yes, you've got Arch Manning, but for Texas, is this more of a, you've got question marks, but we're not going to doubt you because we think Sark is that good? Is that kind of where you think Texas is sitting right now?
Well, they have an elite talent in Arch Manning. They were very aggressive in the transfer portal on both lines of scrimmage. I think Kyle Flood, we all know his history. He does a nice job with the offensive line. They're going to have Wisner back, who did a great job running the football as a former walk-on. Then they're going to have, returnees from injury in that backfield and tailback. So they're going to be better. There's no question about that, running the football. And the thing I also like about Stark is he's never going to abandon the running game. He'll use Arch's legs, but they'll always pound the ball and try to run it and give themselves balance. That's what I loved about him at Alabama. He was always patient with the running game. And then they'll have wide receiver talent. Ryan Wingo is probably about ready to break out, as a sophomore. They did add some pieces in the transfer portal from a wide receiver perspective. So I think Sark, they've still got plenty of talent there at Texas. It's just going to depend on how they fill these holes defensively and how good they are. And I think stability has helped them. They have the same offensive coordinator, DC, and special teams coach for the last 5 years. Sark's been able to pay his coaches and get them to stay. And so I will say this, Georgia's kind of got that bugaboo with Alabama. Well, Texas has it with Georgia.
Yeah.
They couldn't beat Georgia either time last year. Georgia couldn't run the football unless they saw the Texas logo. And then they could run it, and then they could beat Texas. So that would be a little concerning if I was, certainly to Texas. But I think they're going to play Alabama instead of the Bulldogs. I think Georgia, Gunnar Stockton has, definitely won that team. But can he make plays consistently? How are all these holes going to be filled on offense and defense for Georgia? They've recruited very well, and I think they had a good portal class. Is Zachariah Branch, now that he's gotten away from Lincoln Charmin, is he going to be even more productive for Kirby? We'll see. They need him to be. And then, Georgia needs to be able to run the football better than they did a year ago. ETN's injuries had something to do with that, but they need to be better. Frazier needs to maybe become that bell cow running back, Nate Frazier, in year two for the Dogs. And then Georgia's schedule is advantageous. That's difficult. But they play, the Ole Misses, Alabamas, and Texas all at home. Now, they have to go to Auburn, but, they still play a lot of their big games in Athens at Sanford Stadium. And don't forget, they haven't lost a home game since, the best win of the Will Muschamp era, I think all the way back in 2017 when they came from Columbia to Athens and found a way to win. So, it's going to be a difficult challenge, but we also know it was under Nick Saban, but Alabama has played Georgia in Athens and had success in the blackout in 2008 and then in 2015, that driving rainstorm. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Alabama and Kellen DeBoer react to Kirby in Athens. But I still say, if that all those portal pieces come through for LSU on paper defensively, I like their offensive talent. I just think that they're going to have four playoff bursts and come out of this conference. And I think your best bets are Texas, Alabama, Georgia, and LSU.
Fall camp starts on next Wednesday. Kalen DeBoer told us as much at SEC Media Days last week. What are some questions that you're hoping to get answered during fall camp?
Well, nobody's talking about it, but they've got to replace Nealon Hibbett at snapper. They've got to replace Graham Nicholson at kicker. We think that's going to be Connor Talty. Maybe the second best punter of the Saban era next to J.K. Scott and James Burnham. Is that going to be Blake Dowd of the School of Mines? I think he was mediocre in the spring. Or is that going to be Alex Asparov, the signee from California, who missed the majority of his senior season with an ACL and then didn't punt in the spring? So they've got to figure out their specialist situation. And the holder, because I think Burnup did most of that. So they've got to figure out some special teams issues. And then I think really the biggest question on the depth chart is at left guard. Is it going to be Cam Dewberry or Geno Vandermark? I lean toward Dewberry from Texas A&M. Geno can be that swing guy that can play center in both guard spots. So we'll see how that goes. But I think that is the biggest position question mark. Now, there'll be a lot of great competition in the secondary because guess what? They can go three deep in a lot of positions with guys that can rotate in and give you great snaps. But and then it'll be interesting to see kind of – I think we know Jam Miller is going to take the first snap at running back. But who's that backup going to be? Is it Richard Young? Is it Daniel Hill? Or is it Draylen Washington? I think they've got three guys competing for snaps behind those dudes. We heard the legend of Dejon Lee in the spring with Damani Jackson being out. Where does he fit into this secondary with so much returning talent now? Because remember last year, Wyatt, going into camp, the biggest question mark was probably the secondary because it was so young.
Yeah.
And now it's probably the biggest strength of the football team.
Yeah, I look at that secondary and I think, we heard about Dejon Lee in the spring. Like you mentioned, Dejon Lee in the spring with Damani Jackson being out. I heard a lot of buzz about Cam Calhoun, the transfer in from Utah. And then, of course, Zabian is doing Zabian things again. So and not to mention the fact that one of the guys that I think could end up being one of the best additions to that cornerback room in the 2025 recruiting and transfer portal cycle is Chuck McDonald, in my opinion. I look at Chuck McDonald, who was a summer enrollee, and I think he can be lights out for this football team.
Yeah, no question. I mean, we'll see. I just think there's so many guys. Don't forget the Ivan Taylors of the world. And even a guy that gets forgotten that gave him a lot of good snaps by the end of last year in the nickel was Deshaun Jones. And he's an older guy from Wake Forest who should get some time. But and Red Morgan. But the beautiful thing and the thing I loved about this coaching staff is they show a lot of trust in the players wide, and they rotate a lot of guys. So that leads to player retention, and I think that was one of the bigger reasons why Alabama and Kalen DeBoer didn't have anybody leaving the spring portal.
That's big. That's big. Drew, man, I appreciate you joining me. Drew DeArmond, 977 The Zone, ESPN up in Huntsville, Alabama. If they want to follow you and all your content, where can they do it?
Yeah, they can follow me at DrewD977 ESPN on X, at 977 ESPN on our station. And then, of course, if you miss any of our content on Talking Ball, Scott Tyson, how we have 97.7 The Zone on SoundCloud and then 977ESPN.com. Looks like there could be some recruiting news come out today for Alabama in a positive way. Could add second quarterback to the 2026 class in Tayden Tawa via Orem, Utah from Honolulu, Hawaii.
That would be a big pickup. Drew, man, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for joining me. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Wyatt.
That's Drew DeArmond helping us out there. 977 ESPN up in Huntsville. We'll come back on the other side, wrap up the first hour of the Gary Harris Show right here on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
I don't understand. It's just my job.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Bobby Humphrey, legendary running back at the University of Alabama. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, including the newest movie featuring his daughter and talking about the Crimson Tide. Nothing but a winner. Bobby Humphrey will break that down. We'll talk to Mike Dettillier from WWL, the Big 870, all a part of The Game, starting at 2 p.m. here on Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hours.
Carpeting at the Home Depot. Going on now. Offer valid July 17th through August 3rd, 2025. Exclusions apply. For licenses, see homedepot.com/license numbers.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the...
Or you can shop online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. At Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, you pick it out and we'll work it out. Roll Tide!
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partly to mostly sunny, hot and humid today. Just a few isolated showers or storms this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 94. Tonight's low, 76. Tomorrow, morning sunshine. Widely scattered afternoon storms around. The high, 93. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 88 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show. For Alabama sports. Tide 100.9. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Wasting away again in Margaritaville. Searching for my lost sugar salt.
Come on now. Come age, so that Jimmy Buffett was always playing whenever I was really going anywhere, doing anything. And when I was in high school, I had a Jeep, so I took the top off the Jeep, would play some Jimmy Buffett. Oh, man, I thought I was so cool at 16 years old in high school, making my way down to Gulf Shores. But hey, look, I love the beach. It's my favorite time of year. Summer's my favorite time of year. So obviously, I love hanging out at the beach here in the great state of Alabama, my hometown, of course, being the 251 area here. That's going to do it for us here on the first hour of the Gary Harris Show. Bruce, hang tight. I don't want to squeeze you up against the top of the hour here, so we'll get to you immediately coming out of this next break here, right here on the Gary Harris Show. Big shout out to Drew DeArmond for helping us out in that first segment right here on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
You can mix it with buffalo sauce. Dipping them in our sauces, it is perfection.
It's the summer of Chick-fil-A chicken strips and sauces. Order now on the Chick-fil-A app. Team members paid for their testimonials.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Milwaukee Brewers now have the best record in baseball, 60-40, after a shutout win at Seattle, 6-0. Milwaukee's won 11 straight games, and the Brewers are now alone in first in the NL Central, one game over the Cubs, who lost at home 12-4 to Kansas City, as the Royal Salvador Perez hit two homers. At Dodger Stadium, LA's Will Smith with two solo homers. Shohei Ohtani not only pitched three innings, but hit an early two-run homer. The Dodgers held on 5-2 over Minnesota. The Mets came back to beat the Angels 7-5. Philadelphia in 10 edged Boston 3-2 on a catcher's interference call with bases loaded. Toronto beat the Yankees 4-1. Wins for Cleveland and Pittsburgh. Titans quarterback Will Levis will have shoulder surgery next week. He is out for the year. Cowboys pass rusher Micah Parsons reported to training camp. Green Bay gave tackle Zach Tom a four-year extension. Veteran NBA guard Chris Paul signed with the Clippers.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Still hanging out with you guys. If you're just now jumping in your car or turning on that Tide 100.9 app, first off, want to say thank you so much for listening. And if you're saying, where the heck is Gary Harris? Gary's out on assignment for the remainder of the week here. So I am filling in. I am Wyatt Fulton, the brand manager here of Tide 100.9. Also our sports writer. I host my own show from 1 to 2 o'clock every single weekday here. Coming at you right in between Christian Miller from 11 to 1 and then Ryan Fowler from 2 until 6 p.m. here. So having a lot of fun this morning. Big thanks to Drew DeArmond for helping us out in that first segment, breaking down what we heard at SEC Media Days, and then asking him some questions. What do you want to see answer? What questions do you have as we get ready to enter fall camp here on the campus of the University of Alabama? If you don't know, fall camp, Kalen DeBoer told us last week, fall camp will start next Wednesday. July 30th will be the start of fall camp here at Alabama, exactly 1 month before the start of the regular season when Alabama heads down to Tallahassee, Florida on August 30th to take on the Florida State Seminoles. Florida State's going to be ready for that matchup. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Florida State is going to be ready to go. We've heard the comments from Thomas Castellanos. We heard Alabama's response last week as well. Tim Keenan, three simple words. Disrespect, well, I guess four words. Disrespect will be addressed, said Tim Keenan on Thomas Castellanos' comments of, they ain't got Nick Saban. They ain't ready for me. I'm gonna handle them. First off, Castellanos, joke's on you. Alabama struggled with dual threat quarterbacks under Nick Saban anyways. You remember Cam Newton, Johnny Manziel, Chad Kelly? Ugh. 2015 Ole Miss. Ugh. That was not a fun matchup. That was just, they had no business losing that game. All right, no, I'm not talking about football games from 10 years ago. My God, that was 10 years ago.
Crazy to think, man.
That hurts my soul to think about.
I was still like a little kid, man. I was 10 years old.
I was 14 years old when Alabama won that national championship. I was 14 years old when they won 45-40 out in Glendale, Arizona against the Clemson Tigers. Golly, man, time flies when you're having fun. Now I'm 24 years old. I'm hanging out with the best producers, the best fans across the country here, filling in for one of the best show hosts here in Tuscaloosa, in Gary Harris. Big shout out to Alabama Credit Union for sponsoring that first hour. Your second hour sponsor is Patterson Law Firm. Here in Alabama, community means everything. And at Patterson Law Firm, we're here when you need us most. Injured, you won't get a call center. You'll talk to real attorneys, right here at home. Accessible, compassionate, committed. That's the Patterson Law Firm promise, and that's the difference. Call us if you have any legal questions at 205-345-1000. Patterson Law Firm, local, trusted, and here for you when you need us.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
Let's go ahead and jump out on the Storage Center hotline, 205-342-9904. Let's talk with Bruce right here in Tuscaloosa. Bruce, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I am fantastic. Getting a little bit of extra airtime this week. Not mad at it at all. What's on your mind today?
I was wondering if you had heard of the Taden Kawa, the Utah quarterback, committed to anybody yesterday. He said he was going to commit yesterday, but I haven't seen any information on it.
So he said he was going to commit yesterday. He ended up pushing it back. So his commitment is now scheduled for today. There was no issues, right? No last-minute NIL dealings. He just simply, there were some logistical issues with him doing it yesterday at his school, so he pushed it back to today. So Taden Kawa will be committing today. Everything that I've heard...
You know by what time he plans to commit?
I think it's a little bit later this afternoon. Hang on, Reed's looking for it.
Actually,
here as well.
According to 247 Sports, they said in the next 53 minutes.
Ah, well, Roll Tide. We may be able to carry that live right here on the Gary Harris Show then. So, okay, so he's committing within the next 53 minutes. Everything I've heard is it's all Alabama.
Well, that's good. What about the Tank Jones? You going to get him?
I like where Alabama sits and with a guy like Tank Jones. He had told, I think, Brett Greenberg of 247 Sports that he was going to make an announcement either late July or early August. That was the timetable he was looking at. Well, we're in late July now, so I guess Tank Jones is now officially on commitment watch. Obviously, it's between Alabama, Oregon, and Texas A&M. On 3 Sports reported this. I've also heard the same thing from some people, so I feel comfortable saying this. As of right now, like if he was committing within the next 5 minutes, I would say it's Alabama. I think his second place team right now is Texas A&M. Oregon is just a little too far away when you look at a guy like Tank Jones. Oregon is the other side of the country, but he said late July or early August would be his kind of commitment time window. So we're in that time window now, being July 22nd. If he were to commit right now within the next 5 minutes, I'd say it's Alabama.
Okay. Well, I think we need is another offensive lineman commit. Have you got one? Do you see one in our future?
There's a couple guys, and just because somebody, and trust me, we hear it all the time when we talk about this guy's committed to Alabama, that guy's committed to Alabama. Well, it's a long way to December. You know, Xavier Griffin, Xavier Crowell, you know, they were flirting with Texas. We hear it all the time from our local Texas caller. It's a long way to December. So if there's somebody that I would keep an eye on, and I'm going to butcher his name. Shoot, I can't even find his name right now. I think it's like Warren Zaire or something like that. He committed to Auburn a couple of days ago. But if there were somebody that I think could make their way to Alabama, could end up flipping from their current program to Alabama, it would be him. And he's a big offensive lineman as well. I think he's about 6'5". Reed, you got his information here? Okay, so we can't find his information. I know his last name is like Zaire or something.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm trying to make sure, like, I'm spelling it correctly.
So, but he's somebody who is committed to Auburn, but I kind of like where Alabama sits. Obviously, you know, it happens to Alabama, right? People may commit to Alabama, kids may commit to Alabama, but they may still be pursued by other schools. So Alabama's going to do the same thing. Just because somebody's committed to Auburn or Ohio State or Texas or Georgia does not mean Alabama's not going to keep pushing. So if there's somebody else, I would say it's this offensive lineman.
Yeah, so it's Wilson Zaire.
Wilson Zaire. Yes. My apologies.
No, you're good. He's out of Raven Gap, Georgia.
Raven Gap, Georgia. There's been a lot of good guys that have come out of there.
6'6", 280.
So he's a little thin, but that's a guy that... If there was another offensive lineman committing this class, Wilson Zaire is a guy that I would keep an eye on.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the updates.
Absolutely, Bruce. I appreciate you calling in, man. Hope you have a great rest of your day.
You too. Bye.
See you later. That's Bruce in Tuscaloosa helping us out here. Chase and I gave our picks on my show, T-Town Sports Daily, on Friday for who we think is going to win the SEC championship. I went with it's Alabama versus Georgia. Chase went Texas versus Georgia. I picked Alabama to win the SEC. Chase, did you pick Georgia, right? Chase picked Georgia to win the SEC. Well, Reed, we didn't get to talk with you on Friday. So first off, we're not going to make you go through all 16, obviously, because that's a lot of schools. And there's no skill in predicting the entire order of the SEC. I think there's skill in picking the top four teams. 5 through 11 is an absolute crapshoot. And then the bottom four teams as well. So give me your... I put them in a category, right? To me, the teams that can win the SEC, the teams that are playoff contenders by way of winning the SEC are Texas, Georgia, Alabama, LSU. Who are your teams that you kind of think would be in that category of if they win the SEC, I'm not surprised at all?
Well, I think you've got it right with Texas, Georgia, Alabama, LSU. But I think a good key team to look at as a dark horse, and it's funny we bring this up, I posted on Twitter about it, who my like way, way too early SEC championship game is. And this may seem like a stretch, but I had Alabama and Oklahoma. I seriously, you know, I get the whole John Mateer, you know, he's going from, you know, across the country to SEC. But also they got Jaden Ott from California. I mean, he's a pretty premier running back, and Brett Venables, you know, a lot of people are starting to put some pressure on him. So I think, you know, pressure makes diamonds. And so I think that's my long shot. But if I had to say realistically, I think I'm going to have to go with the boring answer of Alabama, Texas. Yeah.
Bama, Texas. That's a, it's always fun when they play each other, even though Alabama's come out on the wrong side of that matchup more often than not. But I look at that matchup and I think, you know, 2009 BCS National Championship, I guess 2010 BCS National Championship game, 2009 regular season. I think Bryce Young and Jahmyr Gibbs doing what they did down in DKR Stadium there in Austin, Texas. Bryce Young orchestrating what Bryce Young does best, and that's game-winning drives, right? Ducking under literally ducked under a blitzing defender for Texas, scrambled for about 20 yards and set Alabama up in field goal position. Obviously, the game here in Tuscaloosa. Reed, did you go to that game here in Tuscaloosa?
It's so crazy because I requested a ticket through like the students,
ticket package. Yeah.
And what's crazy is I got a ticket the day of, but I actually went home to get tested. I had COVID. I did not watch it, but not to jinx anything, but I have yet to gone, like, as a student at the University of Alabama, I've yet to go to a game where Bama has lost.
See, I touted that record at the start of the season. At the start of this season, because I traveled with the team, right? I traveled covering the team this past year. The only game I did not go to was Wisconsin, because Madison, Wisconsin, just a little too far away. Not that big of a matchup. Guarantee you when we go play Ohio State in a couple of years, I will be in Columbus, Ohio for that matchup. But I touted that record this past season and said, look, all I'm saying is I've been going to games since 2012, I think, since 2012. They have not lost a game that I've been at, home or away, right? Because I've been to a ton of home games. Now, they were all kind of Bobo blowout games because I don't have the money to afford Alabama-Georgia tickets. But I went to, like, Alabama-Arkansas, right back when Bryce Young hurt his shoulder in the 2022 season, and they won. So I touted that record going into the season. Alabama hasn't lost a game that since I've been starting going to games. Like, games that I attend, Alabama does not lose. And they went 1-3 on the road this past season, and I got told I'm not allowed to go to road games anymore. Not by our staff, by the callers. Bubba in Northport and Tommy in Romulus and, you know, Ricky and all the great callers here on, and I think even Tom and Philip too, they were like, hey, stop going to games. Stop attending games, because they went on the road games that I went to, road and neutral site games, because I also went to the bowl game. They went 1-4 this year when I attended on the road.
See, and that's the thing. I have not got myself to have go to an away game yet. So all the games I've attended these last 2 years have been home games.
Yeah.
From Jane Daniels here, what was it, 2020?
That was a fun one, 2023.
Yep, and then the Tennessee game, 2023. Yeah. I went to the Georgia game this last year. I mean, there's been some electric games, but I think I'm keeping this like at home mentality because we have, you know, I feel like we have a better chance at winning.
It's a tough place to play. I mean, I understand, you know, the universe or the team itself makes it a tough place to play, right? The team itself, Alabama being so good for so many years, you look at them and you say, well, maybe it's not the home field advantage, right? You look at the best home field advantages in the SEC. LSU's obviously up there. Tennessee's up there. I can confidently say Knoxville, Tennessee is up there here now that I've been to Knoxville, Tennessee. Jordan-Hare Stadium down in the Plains, that's a really tough place to play, right? You look at, I think Texas A&M is kind of an underrated play. I say underrated. They're one of the biggest stadiums in the SEC. And the team, but the team, home field advantage-wise, they're really good. Now, the team can be kind of hit or miss. Arkansas is an underrated environment. I've been to Fayetteville. That's a really underrated environment. This season, I'll get to go to Athens, Georgia, right? This season, I'll get to go to Columbia, Missouri. Nashville, I'm putting Nashville and Vanderbilt last in the SEC because even though Alabama lost 40-35 this past season, that crowd was still 90% crimson. That crowd was 90% Alabama. Yeah. At no point did I ever feel like the home team or the home crowd is kind of affecting Alabama here. I think it was just flat out the mentality and the physicality of Clark Lee, Diego Pavia, and the Vanderbilt Commodores. At no point did the home crowd make that a difficult game for Alabama, though. And so, but this season, I'll get to go to Athens, right? I'll get to go to Columbia, Missouri. I get to go to Columbia, South Carolina. Haven't been there yet. I'm excited about that one. I imagine next year probably get to go to DKR out in Austin, Texas again. Probably get to make my way to, I completely forgot the stadium name. Ben Griffin Stadium, Gainesville, Florida. Is it Ben Griffin? Or maybe I'm thinking of the basketball arena. The Swamp. I'll get to go to the Swamp.
Yeah, Swamp.
I'll get to go to the Swamp in Gainesville, Florida at some point over the next 2 years because even though we do not know the SEC opponents, we kind of know. We don't know the exact SEC opponents, right? But the way the SEC scheduling is working out is basically take all the non-protected opponents from Alabama this season and replace them with new SEC teams. So you're looking at, you know, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Texas, Texas A&M, Florida. Alabama's going to play a lot of those teams. Obviously, some of them they're going to get at home. But that seems to be kind of the way the SEC schedule is playing out. I imagine, of course, they'll keep the Iron Bowl. I'm interested to see which matchup they keep between LSU and Tennessee if the SEC does not go to 9 conference games next year. If they go to 9 conference games, I think they keep all 3. If they don't, I imagine they kick one of those rivalries to the curb. They may say, look, we can't have you play three protected opponents every year because then you're only playing 5 other SEC opponents. And we got 15 other teams outside of you in this conference. We can't have you playing like that. So I imagine they'll kick one of those rivalries to the curb if the SEC does not go to 9 conference games. But I'm excited. I'm again, very excited for this football season. Very excited for, again, another tour of the SEC this upcoming season. I'll get to go to as well to Tallahassee, Florida here on August 30th. Get to cover a little bit of ACC football here. There's going to be a lot of marquee non-conference matchups this year. Right, obviously week one is the big one, so you know it's Alabama, Florida State, right? It's LSU, Clemson in the other Death Valley. I think the real Death Valley resides in Baton Rouge, but the other Death Valley in Clemson, South Carolina here. You've got Texas, Ohio State coming up in week one, Oklahoma, Michigan in week two. Alabama's going to be playing Wisconsin again in week three. And then you look at the end of season matchups. Kentucky, Louisville. Louisville's got a squad down there. Miller Moss, Isaac Brown, the running back there. Got to replace Ja'Cory Brooks. But I look at Louisville and I say, that's a team that can compete for an ACC title. I think that's a squad that can compete. Of course, Cade Klubnik and Clemson. My buddy Will, who joins us on T-Town Sports Daily every once in a while, he's got this hot take that Clemson and South Carolina could be a top 5 matchup in the final week of the regular season. Could be top 5 college game day, and he thinks the Heisman winner will be playing in that matchup.
It could be. I mean, I guess just how many time will tell. You know, it's kind of one of those things.
It's going to be fun. I'm excited for this football season. And then, of course, as soon as football season is wrapping up, I guess as we get into the last month of football season here, basketball gets to pick back up, and we'll get to hear from Nate Oates and the Alabama basketball squad. No Mark Sears, no Grant Nelson for the first time in 2 years for both those guys. Well, 3 years for Mark, 2 years for Grant. It's going to be a fun, sports calendar. We're excited for it here on Tide 100.9. Coming back on the other side, we'll continue rocking and rolling through the Gary Harris Show. We'll jump out on the Storage Center hotlines. We got calls lining up here, 205-342-9904. If you want to join the conversation right here on Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the headlines brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. A heat advisory remains in effect through 9 tonight for all of West Alabama. Heat indices could reach 108. The Northport City Council voted 3-2 last night to okay a resolution in support of University Beach's application to receive state tourism tax rebates. Developer Kent Donahue explained how the rebates will be used.
It's going to go for infrastructure costs, primarily upgraded landscaping, boardwalks, etc., that are already planned at the project.
The rebates will be paid by the state, not the city. 37-year-old Michael Wade Tucker has been sentenced to life in prison in the murder of 21-year-old Lacey Cheyenne Whitson in Fayette County. Don't buy your new or pre-owned Mercedes-Benz from anywhere other than Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. Our local team provides five-star buying experience and five-star service. Over 100 new vehicles are in
cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partly to mostly sunny, hot and humid today. Just a few isolated showers or storms this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 94. Tonight's low, 76. Tomorrow, morning sunshine. Widely scattered afternoon storms around. The high, 93. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 89 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Alabama Crimson Tide lives right here.
Down to the pylon. Touchdown, Alabama.
On Tide 100.9.
Let's go ahead and jump out on the Storage Center hotlines. Let's talk with Jeff in Tennessee. Jeff, how you doing?
Oh, I'm not too bad. Just, doing the football, talking to you, can't wait to travel all these great stadiums. Hope you feel the same way about basketball. But what I wanted to say is, I was looking at stuff this morning. There's a kid up here that plays in the town I'm at. He's in a private school, Providence Christian. Well, again, they call it PCA, but Providence Christian. He's a 6'8" kid, Chris. His name's Chris Washington Jr. He's a part of the 26 class. He plays the three small forwards, the 6'8" guy. He's got his knees narrowed down to 7 schools. Of Alabama and Auburn are on the list. Tennessee, I'm trying to think, just I know Florida A&M was on that list. Cincinnati and some other ones, but he's going to take his first visit to Alabama. I think the first week of September. I can't remember. They said the dates, but I can't remember the dates. But
yeah, it's September 6th.
He's from Florida originally, so Florida A&M is one of the schools he's down to. But what I was going to say is last year, he came up here to play last year. The team, they won the state, their division. We have two divisions in Tennessee. We have our public and private are split. We have a public school division, a private school division. So they're a private school, and his team won the state last year in their class. So he's a pretty good ball player. He went to some camps, and the guys were saying he was really impressive at the camp. So I'm sure people, fans will want to see him when he does come up there. They had a really good team last year, and they should be good again this year. But as far as football goes, the things that aggravate me about football, and I like football, don't get me wrong, I've covered high school athletics for over 25 years.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that aggravates me about football is, number one, the countdowns. or whatever. And number two thing is, when the season starts going, especially high school up here, college is just as bad. But when the season is going like here in Tennessee, you have 11 weeks to play 10. Everybody gets a week off. And most of the schools, when they have fall breaks, when they don't play, that's the way they week they're off. what people do up here, I've got a boss that does it the same way some other people do it. It'll be like week three or four, and they'll say, it'll be going into week four or something. They say, oh, my gosh, it's already week four of the season. I can't believe it's gone by so fast. I mean, I don't understand that. I don't get that. I mean, no other sport does that. We don't hear about basketball. Golly, it's already February, or golly, it's already. We don't hear nothing about hoops like that. I mean, up here in Tennessee, November, December, that basketball might well not even exist. They might as well just not. And a guy said years ago, we have like three or four stages in Nashville. I live about 30 minutes from Nashville, and they have sports talk stages. And this guy got on the show one day. It's been several years ago. I was riding the car going somewhere in town here. And he said these are the exact words. He said, when college football ends, I go through withdrawals. He said, when college basketball ends, it don't affect me, he said. So when I heard that, I either turned the station or I clicked off. You have got to be kidding. I couldn't believe somebody would say that.
That's pitiful. I mean, especially with what the SEC, again, if it's an SEC.
It's not SEC.
He's just talking nationally.
He wasn't talking about SEC. He just said, when college football ends, I go through withdrawals. When college basketball ends, it don't affect me, is what he basically said.
College basketball, I mean, I am the biggest college football fan that I can possibly be, right? I'm up until, you know, 2 a.m. most Saturdays anyway, so I'm out there watching, you know, I'm watching Hawaii and Fresno State at 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, that's how much I love college football. There is nothing better. There is nothing better in this country than a 2 o'clock, you know, than a 10 p.m. tip-off between, you know, two big sky teams. You know, I love college basketball almost as much as I love college football. It's ridiculous to say, oh, well, college football, when college football ends, I go through withdrawals. When college basketball ends, it doesn't affect me. No, they're both incredible sports, and they're both better than the product that you get at the professional level. They're so much more entertaining than what you get in the NBA and the NFL.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, did you see, too, I was listening, looking at a website. Have you seen the website? It's called Sportico. You know what that is?
Sportico, I have heard of not. It.
There's a guy that wrote an article about this revenue sharing of the schools. So they've decided now, over 300 of them have decided to opt in, these schools, okay? So all the schools that play FBS football are opting in, the smaller kind and everything. So they had schools was listed, there's about a little over 50 of them that are not opting in. The two leagues that aren't opting in are the Ivy League and the Patriot League. They're not opting in the revenue sharing. And one of them up here, it's in Nashville. They're in the Ohio Valley Conference. There's 11 schools in that conference, actually, but not all of them play football. Some of them don't have football. There's 11 of them. Okay, Tennessee State, they're not going to opt in to the revenue sharing. There were several other conferences too. Like I know the Southern Conference had a couple of teams. I think the military, like the VMI and Citadel.
Yeah, your military academies did not opt in.
Yeah, the military. They say the military academies. This guy that wrote the article, he said they can't do it.
Yeah.
They're obligated military. They can't opt in. They can't do it. They said. Like the armies, they all the airport and all that.
Yeah, they can't. They're not able to opt in.
Yeah, they can't do it. But there was about fifty some odd schools that aren't opting in this year to the revenue sharing. And I don't know about football because, like I said, not every school really has football. But I think their other sports going to hurt. Of course, the same school I'm talking about, Tennessee State. The next 4 years in football. They're going to play in football. They're going to play like Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're playing Tennessee, and they're going to play Middle Tennessee and somebody. They're playing like four bigger schools from 2026 to 2029. They're going to play. That's going to be their one big money. And they've talked about the game in 2027 when they play Tennessee. They've talked about dude when the Titans Stadium gets finished. They talked about that. And I don't know if you heard about this. It's been about a week or so ago up here. They're working on the Titans Stadium.
I heard about them pausing construction because they found something.
They found the nukes. They found nukes. So they've got rewarded. But yeah, they stopped for about 4 or 5 days. And yesterday they started back construction. They started running back to doing everything. About 4 or 5 days, they stopped. They was working with the authorities and things to see who had done it. We're saying got nobody. They don't know who done it. But they've offered a big-time reward for whoever they can find the person to bring it in. But, yeah, they found it on the construction site, they said. But, yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, when that guy said that, I was like, you have got to be. And I had a boss like that didn't like a certain sport in high school. I don't get it. I was like, if you're going to be a sports writer and you don't like certain sports, what are you doing it for? I mean, it don't make no sense to me.
It's your job to cover sport. I mean,
it's my job.
I mean,
this guy was doing it. It's his job to cover, and you don't want to do that. But he didn't really like it, he said. But whatever, it's your job. You don't want to cover. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it.
It's your job. I mean, I say this as somebody who has. I've worked in fast food, right? I've worked outside in the heat. I've worked maintenance, and I've worked, and I've worked cleaning condos. All right, this is the best job that I've had because I get to sit there and watch sports for a living.
You mean you can come over and clean my house today? Come on up.
And look, my prices were real expensive because I was cleaning down at the beach in Gulf Shores. But
if you clean down there, you gonna clean up down there.
I tell you what,
those beaches down there are better. Are better or just about equal to the ones in Florida. I can tell you that.
They're nice, but
I mean, as far as pretty and clean. I mean, kept clean. Oh, yeah. I mean, clean now. Them things was. Well, it's been several years ago with that, but them beaches were like clean as a. I couldn't believe how clean them beaches were.
But I mean, I've worked fast food. I've worked maintenance. I've worked outside in the heat. I've been a car mechanic.
Yeah.
Now my job is to sit here and go to some of the best college environments in football, basketball, baseball, and softball, and I get to come talk about it on the air, and I get to write about it.
I've worked a lot worse jobs.
I will happily watch because I'm not even a big baseball fan, right? Like, just baseball's not my sport. I understand that, and I'm okay with that. But if it's my job to cover baseball, guess what? I'm going to cover baseball. I'm going to watch baseball. I'm going to understand baseball. It may not be my favorite sport, but it's my job to do it. So guess what? I'm going to do it with a smile on my face and a song in my heart because I know what the alternative is. I've worked fast food chicken. I've worked as a car mechanic. Those jobs are miserable.
I've had those jobs. I worked one of them when I was in college and after. I worked a couple restaurants washing dishes, so I know what you mean. I've done those jobs, so I know what you mean there. I wouldn't want to go back and do that for too long.
No. And now I get to watch college football and college basketball and college baseball and softball for a living. I'm happy with where I'm at.
Yeah, one thing I want to ask you. There was a guy that he was on Feinbaum yesterday. I don't know if you read his article. I didn't read it, but he was talking about it. He said he was talking about that SEC media days is kind of worn out or kind of lost. He don't think they should really maybe have it anymore. What do you think about that?
I think they need to have it. I think 4 days is too long. I think I kind of like how the Big Ten's doing it. Big Ten media days is this week. They're doing 3 days. I think 4 days is a lot. 4 days is a lot of content, and that's a very long time. And quite frankly, I kind of agree. SEC Media Days has kind of lost its luster a little bit.
That's what he was talking about. He said you don't really get a whole lot of stuff out of it. Of course, he was talking about when Saban was all stuff, and of course, they were talking about different ones. And one of them said, I can't remember which one it said. Said DeBoer was a nice guy, but I guess he don't really give him a lot of pizzazz or a lot of. Good stuff to really write about.
You don't get a lot of content out of coaches at SEC Media Days. I mean, I asked Hugh Freeze. I asked him. He's 0-4 in games against Alabama and Georgia. Why does he think that's going to change this year? And he gave me some very coach speak type of answer. And so you don't get much out of the head coaches. You do get some good content out of the players, though, and the players enjoy it. Players enjoy it. So if we got to deal with 30 minutes of a head coach giving us coach speak and no new information, if we have to deal with that so we can get the good content from the players, I'm more than happy with that. I'm okay with it. I think four days is too long, though. I would shorten that.
I wish they would do more for basketball if they're not.
I agree.
But I enjoy your show. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Jeff. That's Jeff in Tennessee helping us out there. Coming back on the other side, we'll jump back out to the Storage Center hotlines. Digger, hang tight. We're coming your way right here on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
partner or just because. Seize the Deal lets you eat big without breaking the bank. These deals won't last forever. Visit seizethedeal.com/cities/Tuscaloosa.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
On Tide 100.9. Let's jump back out to the Storage Center hotlines. Let's bring in Digger. Digger, how you doing, man?
All right. Two things. You need a timer on Jeff. Holy cow.
He fills a segment, and sometimes he fills a segment, and sometimes when you're in the off season, you need a little help filling a segment.
Jeff, if you're out there listening, relevancy is the point here. Okay, nobody cares about basketball on July 22nd. Okay, I'm being dead serious. Nobody cares about basketball. You're 9 days away from the Hall of Fame game. Come on, stop it with the basketball until I'll give you until the end of September. Okay?
Okay.
Basketball. Come on, it's fall. Okay. If you want to talk basketball in the summertime, talk about the NBA in the Las Vegas. Okay, WNBA. Believe it or not, I actually watched the Fevers game. It was kind of enticing.
It's
seeing women fight.
It's actually very, like, I've watched a couple of WNBA games. They're not bad. What gets annoying is when you've got, you know, four girls on the other team that end up boxing Caitlin Clark, yeah, and end up, you know, hitting her with an elbow in the jaw a couple of times. That's when I get frustrated. But I mean, Digger. All right. So let's say you're a WNBA player, all right? Nobody has given a rat's behind about your league nationally until this Caitlin Clark girl comes in. Are you going to be mad at her for bringing national relevance to your league?
No. They're all starting. Now they're starting to make a little money.
Yes.
Got a little attention. They're starting to make a little money. But anyway, neither here nor there. Okay, sorry about that Jeff move there. Okay, let's venture away from the WNBA. Okay, that's a cardinal sin. I violated my own rules. Okay.
We're pulling a Corey Miller here.
Yes, real quick. I'm in Austin. And I decided to do a Waymo. You know what a Waymo is?
No. Oh, God.
You order a car. And there's no driver in there. Okay.
You get in.
And yeah, take a ride. And I'm telling you, if there was ever a helpless feeling about not having control of a car and you're sitting in the back seat, it is totally unnerving. And the only thing that calmed me down was a little video screen, and it's a commercial of Arch Cooper and Archie Manning. I'm telling you, it was worth every penny. I got to tell you, man.
Oh,
you
got
to try it when you go out to L.A. or Phoenix, okay? Because it is really, I was like exhilarated. And I'm telling you, we got on the highway, the MOPAC, okay? That's six lanes, okay? You're going 60 miles an hour, and you're sitting in the back seat, and there is nobody in the front. Okay.
I don't even like letting somebody else drive. Like, I drove 12 hours to Oklahoma with somebody. They didn't get behind the wheel of the car once. I drove the full 12 hours because I don't even like sitting in the passenger seat and letting someone else drive. I don't know that I can let an automated car drive me around.
It was fascinating. Okay, moving on. Okay. Did you see this report from the Athletic about the valuations of the program if they were to be sold as NFL franchises?
I did see that one. I did see that report. Did you see who number one was?
Yes, we all know that. I'm just saying, Gary Harris running his mouth about national brand and everything. And I said, oh, Gary needs to know this. So, yeah, it's very interesting about how they did all that. And I kind of found that to be interesting that nobody brought this up on the radio show. It's relevant. It's interesting. Y'all kowtowing about your national brand in that script. Hey, guess what? You know, it wasn't even close. They even had Georgia
Which I was a little shocked by that one. I was a little shocked about Georgia, but I understand. I understand it. Athens is about an hour out of Atlanta, which is a much bigger market than even our biggest market, which is Birmingham or Huntsville, depending on which way you look at it. So I kind of see it, but in terms of school brand, I still think Alabama's probably two or three.
Two or three in what way? What do you mean?
Well, I think, number one, the most football success historically when you combine wins and national championships. Basketball, even though they've only made one Final Four, they've got a pretty big brand. They've been really, really good for a long time. They've never been the best, but they've been really, really good for a very long time. Softball is one of the better was one of the better softball programs in the country up until probably this decade, the tail end or the start of this decade. And baseball just has the unfortunate match of playing in the toughest conference in baseball.
Thus bringing this up, you know, Fowlerstein, the knucklehead that he is, has a problem with, you know, sponsoring Olympic sports or country club sports. Keep this in mind. You saw what Scottie Scheffler did overseas. Okay, he's back.
He's insane. But yes.
To the United States, you know, as a University of Texas grad, has gone ahead and put the money down for a three-par course in Austin, Texas. Okay. Where else are you going to get that money unless you have a successful golf team and you got a guy like Shep, yeah, who is totally unconscious on the course, taking trophy and check after check and trophy and check after check.
And to think just a year ago he was in jail. Man.
Oh.
what a way life has of turning around like that.
Talk about an overjealous cop like a Barney Fife. Yay, buddy, get over here. I can hear it now.
I saw that report and thought it was the dumbest thing ever. It was so funny.
All right, I'll let you go. I just wanted to bring that up. National brand. Y'all got to work on it. And plus your academics. I'll let you go.
All right, Digger. Appreciate you for jumping on and helping us out here. Football season is coming up here. We've got about 39 days until Alabama football. And I set a goal for myself. All right. I wanted to lose some significant weight going into next football season. All right. I don't like talking about this publicly. I was 310 pounds at the ReliaQuest Bowl in January. Weighed in at the doctor yesterday, just trying to make sure, you know, trying to get back in good health. Weighed in at the doctor yesterday, 280 pounds. So I've lost some significant weight, still got a long ways to go and not a lot of time to do it before. Thank you. I do not like talking about this publicly, but a lot of it is because I've started going back to the gym, right? And there's an incredible gym here in Tuscaloosa. That is the YMCA here of Tuscaloosa. In communities across the nation, the Y is a leading voice of health and well-being. We bring families closer together, encourage good health, and foster connections through fitness, sports, and fun. As a result, millions of youths, adults, and families are receiving support, guidance, and resources needed to achieve greater health for their spirit, mind, and body. Go by and visit the YMCA of Tuscaloosa today at 2300 13th Street or visit their website at ymcatuscaloosa.org. Coming back on the other side, we'll wrap up the loose ends as we get you ready for the Miller's Edge right here on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Bobby Humphrey, legendary running back at the University of Alabama. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, including the newest movie featuring his daughter and talking about the Crimson Tide. Nothing but a winner. Bobby Humphrey will break that down. We'll talk to Mike Dettillier from WWL, the Big 870, all a part of The Game, starting at 2 p.m. here on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
The longest running sports program.
You can mix it with buffalo sauce. Dipping them in our sauces, it is perfection.
It's the summer of Chick-fil-A chicken strips and sauces. Order now on the Chick-fil-A app. Team members paid for their testimonials.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partly to mostly sunny, hot and humid today. Just a few isolated showers or storms this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 94. Tonight's low, 76. Tomorrow, morning sunshine. Widely scattered afternoon storms around. The high, 93. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 90 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
Again, trying to forget that you was just a waste of time.
Baby, come back.
A little bit of a tragic story has happened this morning. Former Alabama basketball player Davin Cosby, who played for a season here in Tuscaloosa. He actually helped Alabama to a victory over Ole Miss in the 2023-2024 men's basketball season here. Davin Cosby was involved in a serious accident while traveling to Atlanta. According to Jessica Livingston, who is the mother of a Wake Forest basketball player, Cosby's car was sideswiped by another driver that caused him to hit a semi. Davin's car rolled several times, causing him to be ejected from the vehicle, causing serious head and neck trauma. Davin's mom rushed to be by his side from Virginia. They are asking for donations to help her with medical bills or other expenses that may incur. There is a GoFundMe link here. I have just retweeted it on my personal X account, @FultonW_. Go check that out there. And if you can, in any way possible, please help out Davin Cosby, because this is a rough situation here. I mean, I've been in a car accident. I know it's not fun. That same Jeep that I referenced earlier in the show, I rolled it. I rolled that thing and it ended up about 20 feet up in a tree, landed upside down after it rolled up the tree. I'm very blessed to have walked away with no major injuries out of that. Obviously, it sounds like Davin's situation is a lot more serious, but I can relate to being in that car accident. If there's any way you can go help out Davin Cosby and the family there after this tragic car accident, go check that out there. It is Jessica Livingston on X, @PunkyB31. That is her Twitter handle. I also just retweeted it on my personal X account, @FultonW_. So go check that out there. And if you can, please give to help out the family of Davin Cosby there, or Davin Cosby and his family there, as that is a very scary situation here. Coming back as we get ready to wrap up the loose ends here. First team preseason All-SEC offense here. We talked a lot about it in the first hour. We talked a little bit about it with Drew DeArmond, and then we got on to some other conversations here. First team offense. I think it's no surprise. Lenore Sellers, the quarterback out of South Carolina. I say no surprise. I'm a little surprised. I voted Garrett Nussmeier my first team quarterback here in the SEC. Now, Garrett Nussmeier was the second team quarterback. And then third team, I believe I went with DJ Lagway out of Florida. They're giving it to Arch Manning. I got to see some form of promise here before I'm willing to just hand it to Arch Manning. I think Arch Manning probably does end up second or third team All-SEC quarterback at the end of the regular season. But to give it to him right here out the gate, when you've seen, what, four games total probably of reps from Arch, right? Because he had some of the game against UTSA, all of the game against Mississippi State there, all of the game against ULM. So it's just, I don't know. I got to see it from Arch before I just am willing to hand it off to him like that. Running back position, Trey Wisner out of Texas, Le'Veon Moss out of Texas A&M, Ryan Williams out of the University of Alabama, Cam Coleman out of Auburn, Eli Stowers, the tight end out of Vanderbilt. Along the offensive line, you've got Caden Proctor from Alabama, Caden Green from Missouri, DJ Campbell from Texas, Austin Barber from Florida,
And the center position, which I think is the position I take the most issues with, Jake Slaughter out of Florida. No disrespect to Jake Slaughter. And he's got the size you want from a prototypical center. So I understand kind of why he got that nod, but there wasn't a better center in the country than Parker Brailsford last year. There was not a better center in the country than Alabama's Parker Brailsford last year. I talked with NFL NFL scouts during their time in the draft process. Of course, I went down to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, so I got to talk with them a lot down there as well. They said if Parker Brailsford had entered the draft, he would have been the number one center on the board this past NFL draft. Number one guy. He's a little undersized, yes, but I think that leads to a lot of Jason Kelce comparisons when you look at a guy like Parker Brailsford. And he showed last year, right? He dominated at Washington to the point that he was a Sean Alexander Freshman of the Year award finalist. Alabama safety Caleb Downs ended up winning that award. And then he comes in last season, and the big conversation around him, once he did re-enter the lineup after spring ball, was, hey, how is he going to handle SEC competition, right? He's a little bit of a smaller guy. Yeah, he dominated Pac-12, and he dominated, he dominated Texas in the Sugar Bowl. So that was a point for Parker Brailsford, but then he got bullied against Michigan, right? And so the conversation was, can he handle SEC competition? Well, that answer was a resounding yes. Parker Brailsford had no problems last year handling SEC pass rushers, whether that be a stunt or an edge rusher lining up in the middle of the defense or a defensive tackle as well. He was able to handle the run game. I want to say he graded out as the second best run blocker last season for Alabama behind Tyler Booker. How much of that was he got the help from Tyler Booker? I don't know. And we'll see that this season. But I look at Parker Brailsford, and again, no disrespect to Jake Slaughter, who, for the record, I think the two best centers in the country sit in the SEC. I think it's Jake Slaughter and Parker Brailsford. But to me, Reed, it's got to be Brailsford as your number one guy.
I think I'm kind of going the same way as you. But also, like, it's just, like you said, I think they are the two best centers.
Yeah.
But just, like, when I think of any position in, like, at least, like, awards like this, like, of course, it's preseason, but, like,
I'm saying it's preseason. It's, yeah, a lot of us media guys who don't pay attention to other teams other than the one we cover.
Yeah, and so, but just, like, whenever I see second team, I'm like, dang, they're not even, like, the best of their, like, conference.
Yeah.
Would they be the best, like, in the nation, you know? And, like you said, not to, like, you know, deteriorate from Jake Slaughter at all, but just, like, to perception, like, I see Brailsford as one of, if not the best, center in the country. And for him to get second team, it kind of, like, it just doesn't rub me right, you know?
Yeah, it definitely rubs me the wrong way. But regardless, though, Parker Brailsford, you got 12 games to prove that you should be the first team All-SEC and the one that matters and the one after the season. So you've got 12 games to prove that you're the best center in the country. And if he does that, I imagine he's going to walk away with the Remington Award and potentially be a top 50 draft pick in next year's NFL draft. That's going to do it for us today here on the Gary Harris Show. Coming up next, Christian Miller, 11-1. I'll jump back on the air from 1 to 2 p.m. Ryan Fowler takes it home from 2 to 6. And Stingray wraps it up from 6 to 7 right here on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTVC, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
All day long, wearing a mask of false bravado.